Miss Helen, is your class meeting today? Okay. Listen, the older group, the upstairs children's church group, you're not having children's church. You're staying in here with us. So if you have us, like big people, adults, hey, listen to me, fellas. Levi, come on in here. Come take a seat like the big guys. It's practice. If you have a mom and dad, well, I know you have one, but if they're here, find them. Sit close to them, not too close, Levi. You keep messing around, God's going to call you to preach, I'm telling you what. Jamie, you know what I'm talking about. He keeps messing around, God will get him. For our youngins, ready, break. For our real youngins. No, babies. First to sixth grade, we're not going. That goes to show that folks don't listen to the preacher.
I'm kindergarten.
Hey, we'll put you there.
Okay.
All right. So be patient, young and old. Hey, Levi, if you get up one more time, you're grounded for life. Get over there. Go right now. It won't. Maybe my life would be shorter than yours. All right. You got to get on them. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1 and going through verse 2, and we're going to be talking about getting honest with God. Getting honest with God. I love that song we just sang. It's inspiring. It calls you up to something higher. It calls you up to a great devotion for God. That his name would be sweet on your lips like honey. That you'd see him. He is the risen and exalted one, whether you see him that way or not. He is that way. But I wonder how many people, when we sang that song, weren't there. Weren't at a point where they wanted to stand. Have you ever been in a service and when someone, you know, Ron is leading in worship, he says, stand up and praise for Jesus. And you're sitting back there going, I don't want to stand, and I don't want somebody to tell me to stand. Anybody like that? Of course not here. I've never been like that either in my life, ever. Hey, what if we just got honest with God? What if he wasn't always the honey on our lips? It wasn't always sweet? What if we couldn't always say I love you to him straight-faced? What if we went through our whole life pretending to love God, but never really getting there because we refuse to be honest about who he is and who we are. Wouldn't that be tragic? Well, today we're going to talk about getting honest with God. Man, I have some of the best times of personal revival in my life have not required the clouds splitting and the sun shining straight from God onto my life. It's not required me hitting the lottery. It's not required the Red Sea splitting and me miraculously having victory over my enemies. The greatest times of personal revival in my life have been when I got honest with God about who I am, about how I feel, about who he is. It doesn't take, the great events. Sometimes it just takes us saying, you know what? You're right in your word about who you say I am. And it's about time I let you know that you're right about me. So we're going to talk about getting honest with God. We've been in a series called Back to Basics, and this is part of it. And let me tell you, of all the Back to Basics, this has to just be one of them. If you can't get honest with God, I don't believe you can get right with God. I mean, you're just not going to get there. You'll keep pretending that you have something to offer him. You'll keep pretending that there's some kind of deficiency in him while there's some kind of meritous value in yourself. It's just not so. You got to be willing to get honest with him. Let me read this scripture, 1 John chapter 1, the whole chapter all the way to verse 2 of chapter 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and we have declared, and we have heard, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us, and you invite us into your world. You invite us into the world you created. You created for us. You created for your glory, but you invite us to know you. And you're an honest God. You're no liar. And for anyone who would try to make themselves seem to be something they're not, they'll never have that fellowship with you. They'll never have that strong relationship with you. Help us, Father, to come clean about who we are, to be honest with God. Maybe there's someone here, even for the first time, would even consider being honest with God all the way. Father, let it be. Give them strength. May this be a safe place for them today. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to start by saying God is honest with us. You know, if we're talking about getting honest with God, if you ever noticed in a relationship, it's like the first one to say, I love you, or something like that. You know, you don't want to be the first one. You don't want to be the vulnerable one out there to say, I love you first. You know, and you're like, you're on the second or third date, and you're kind of like, hey, I really, I like you. I like you a lot. But we're afraid to take that vulnerability. We're afraid to take that step. Can I tell you something in our relationship with God? He said He loved us a long time ago. He took the first step of vulnerability. He opened Himself wide open to us. So if you're worried about being honest with God, like He's going to somehow manipulate you, maybe you've been manipulated by people before. Maybe you've been taken advantage of and used and betrayed. Can I tell you, God's not that way? God wants to have a relationship with you, and He's the perfect person. He's the perfect one to have a relationship with because He's honest. And there's just a couple things of honesty right here in this first passage that I just want to address. I don't say this, but this comes from eyewitness. This is something He says, I've heard, I've seen, I've touched. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. And I believe that the message of the Scripture to be true and to be honest and to be right. Now, within this message, we get 3 points in which God is honest with us. He sent Jesus Christ to us. Jesus has come into the world. verse 2 says, that eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us. So let me just say that that initiation, that first step has been taken. He came to us. He put his hand out first. He called back. He said, I love you. He takes the first step. Jesus has come into the world. Jesus came seeking us. I don't know if we've just lost the idea of how awesomely privileged we are that God came to seek us. But, you know, what happens if, you know, as a guy, you know, I tried to get girls to go out with me, and sometimes it was a hit, sometimes it was a miss, you know, and you'd go and you'd do some, you know, you'd get your flowers and you'd take a shower for the week and you'd put on some deodorant, you know, the fancy Old Spice, not the regular Old Spice, and you'd brush your hair and your teeth all in the same day. You know, in high school, that was a big deal. And so you'd go and you'd find and you'd go, hey, Susie, you know, I thought maybe we could go out. She's like, get out of here, you loser. And you're like, oh, you know, and it hurts your feelings. And you feel like a loser, you know. Think about how humble, in a sense, our God is, that he courts after you and me. And think about how many people reject him and say, no, I don't got time for you. Think about how vulnerable he is in pursuing us, how privileged we are that Jesus came for us. And what does he want? Just to be honest, what does God want from you? Can I tell you, even though we get a bad rap, this organized religion thing, and no matter how we try to avoid it, y'all, I know Christ Community Church, we are so kind of against organized religion, even though we are kind of like that, you know. We organize, we have time and structure and all those things. We have a belief system. I mean, we can run from it, but what do people say about groups like our churches? They just want your money. They just want this. They just want that. But what does God want from you? God's pursued us. What does he want? What does he really want? Let's be honest. Can I tell you? He wants you. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you, but he wants all of you. He wants all that you are. He wants everything you got. But he wants it through a relationship. He wants you to fall in love with him the way he loves us. And this is what he says. He says, look, in verse 3, we've declared this to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full, that you may experience the fullness of joy of what it means to have fellowship, to have that relationship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. It's a joyful thing, but I'm going to tell you, it's a relationship like marriage is a relationship. How many people would be okay if the person you're married to wanted to be married or at least act married with other people? Is that cool? Is that kosher? We have a word for it. It's called idolatry. Adultery. I thought, it's called adultery, isn't it? It's a sin in the Bible, but it's usually, you know, illegal in most states because marriage is like a contract that you enter into. It's not right, is it? What else do we call it? We call it cheating. We call it unfaithfulness. Well, can you imagine coming into a relationship with God and giving him anything less than everything? And it not be called something like adultery or unfaithfulness or cheating? I mean, if we enter into relationship with our spouses with an understanding of being true and faithful and concerned, you know, as a preacher, I get the good privilege of being on the front end of many relationships at the wedding. I also have the unfortunate duty to be on the back end of many relationships in the divorce. Unfortunately, I've been in scenarios where I've done the wedding and counseled through the divorce. I can't be one of those preachers that says, you know, I've done all these weddings and they've never got divorced. That's already been, you know, I'm not one of those folks. I wish I could be. But then you go, you know, so what happened to those vows? What happened to the lofty words? Let's be honest. They didn't keep them. To whatever it was, even if it was till death do us part. It didn't work out. Is that the great and ultimate sin of humanity? No. Of course not. It's what happens. But my point is this. If we can't enter into a relationship with a human being without there being these vows and these different things, why do we think we can have fellowship with God so lightly? Today I'll be God's friend, tomorrow I won't. Today I'll be a child of God, but tonight I won't. Because tonight it'd be too much fun. I can't pass up on that. It'd be too much fun to be a child of this world tonight. Man, I'm in church like that country song, right? We're in church on those Sundays, but not on those Mondays and not on those other days. We're doing other things. Man, God doesn't want a country song relationship with you. And he's honest about it up front. He just says, look, I want to have a true fellowship with you. He's also honest about who he is. God is light with no shadows. In this room, we have light and shadows. It's a mix. Matter of fact, because we're in this room, we make some shadows. You know, I've noticed that about myself. There's light in me, but there's shadows too. There's good and there's bad and there's ugly. Y'all get to look at the ugly every Sunday morning. My bad. I wish I could say it was 100%. The John Goldwater was unmixed, pure, 100%. In love with God, 24/7, 365, man. Always going for the Lord. But it wouldn't be honest. But I also wouldn't be honest to say God understands in that sense. Because God is 24/7, 365. He's holy. He's pure. He's not like you and me in that way. And we can't make him, we can't try to feel okay with God by making God be okay with our sin. God, just be okay with a little bit of my darkness. God, I know you're light with no shadows, but be okay with my shadows. Be okay with me when I live in the shadows. God's never going to be okay with that. It'd be like a parent being okay with their kid drinking a little bit of poison, just a little bit of poison. What happened, girls? I got my girls here on the front row. They're not mine, but I'm claiming them right now. What would happen if you said you're going to drink just a little bit of poison? The next time you had a Coke to drink, you poured it into your cup, and then you took a spoonful of poison and you whooped it in there and you said, I'm going to drink that. Is that going to be okay? What do you think they would say? But it's just a little. It's not a lot of poison. Just a wee little bit of poison. You mean your folks wouldn't be okay with that? They wouldn't go, okay, it's just a little poison. It's all right. Go ahead. I'll look the other way. I'll pretend like I didn't see the poison. How would they be like that? What would they do? What? You just whooped up some Ebola virus in your Coke? You just put some strychnine in your Coke? What? A little bit of arsenic goes a long way, doesn't it? So what do you think God is like? Since he's light with no shadows and he sees a little bit of darkness, what do you think he thinks about our darkness? Just a little bit. If we say, I just want this little bit of darkness. Just let me have this little bit of place undefined by you. Let me have this little place off to my own. I can call it my own little thing. How do you think he is about that? What would the cross suggest that he thinks about a little bit of sin? He kind of comes unglued a little bit, I think. He's like, no, don't do this. It's going to disturb our fellowship. God is light with no shadows. He's not like us. He's no sin, not one drop of poison, not one whiff of sin. Let's think about us now. That's God being honest with us. Let's look at some of the ways that we're not honest with God. I get a little excited about this because I feel like I'm confessing right in front of my church because sometimes I do all of these things. It's like, whew, you don't even know which ones I do and which ones I don't do. So I get to confess and you don't even know what's going on. I like it. So right now I'm confessing to you. Later you'll confess to me. We'll all confess to the Lord and it's going to be good. A lot of times we're dishonest with God in front of other people. hey, boys, I'll talk this time, and you guys relax this time, all right? All right, good job. We're dishonest before others. Verse 6 says, if we say, the idea, if we say to other people, we have fellowship with God, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we don't practice the truth. So a lot of times we'll lie to other people about God. We'll make ourselves look more godly than we are. We'll say things to other people that will make us look more pious and more holy and more into God than we really are. Hey, I pray for you. I pray for you about that. With the truth being, you don't ever pray. Oh, you know, we were thinking that the morals in our country, I mean, they're just way out of line. When you know you're at home watching the same thing everybody else is watching, doing the same thing everybody else is doing, but you want to get irate. Did you see what they did? Did you hear on the news? Did you hear they're keeping prayer out of school so our kids can't pray, but you don't pray with your kids? What kind of flim-flam is that? And we do this stuff. We get all caught up in wanting other people to think we're something bigger and holier than what we are. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, we know in God there is no darkness. How many times people come to church and they tell me, they're living these crazy lives, and man, they're accepted here because we're all about the grace of God here. We don't ever tell somebody they can't come in here. Come in here. We want you to hear about the Lord here. We believe God can save you here. They'll come in. They say, man, I pray every day, every night. I do all this stuff, and they're reeling me in. They're trying to use a pastor to get something out of them, living some crazy lifestyle, telling me how much they love God, and acting like I'm a complete and utter idiot. I'd rather them say, listen, I'm a slimy, low-down sinner, and I just need some help. Can you help me? That would at least show me they got a chance of a hope. Instead, they come in with their game. Oh, because everybody wants to help a good person. Let me play this game. Let me lay this game on you about how good I am and why I'm a worthy soul to help. You ain't a worthy soul to help, and neither am I. Our help comes from God, who is gracious to all. But if we're not honest with them because we're playing a flim-flam game, you ain't never going to see that. Another thing we do, we're dishonest with ourselves. You know, one of the worst dishonesties, one of the worst deceptions in this world is self-deception. Self-deception is so hard to beat because you're the one lying to you. You're the one making you believe weird things. Look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I want you to notice that it says, if we say we have no sin, that's present tense. If we say we have no sin, I talk to people. Let's pray, man. Let's get it all out before the Lord. Whatever you got on your heart, whatever you're dealing with, let's get it all. Oh, man, I ain't got nothing. I'm just nothing here. Okay. Cool. You got the clean hands. You got the pure heart to dwell in the tabernacle of God and on the holy mountain of God, like it says in Psalm 15. You got no need, no help for God. You got no desperate need in you crying out that's been kicking your butt. That's fine. That's cool. Except for I know better. Except for I know that even among good Christian folks who wouldn't dare commit some of the sins of their past, they so often omit doing what the Lord has commanded them to do, and they think nothing of it. Can you imagine Can you imagine somebody saying, well, just because I haven't committed murder, just because I haven't been, this was my morality. This is my personal story. My morality before I was a Christian was this. If I had not gotten arrested for something, it was not wrong. In sports, you call that no harm, no foul. No, you know, there wasn't a flag on the play if it didn't get saw, if the referees didn't see it, no call, no foul. It didn't exist. You got away with something. That was my morality. No call, no foul. It just didn't matter. If you stole and you didn't get caught, you didn't steal. If you were violent and you didn't get caught, you weren't violent. That was my morality. That's what I conceived for myself. If you can cheat and get away with cheating, you didn't cheat. That's how I felt until I met God. And he says he catches all those things. That before him, all of us stand as sinners. But I'm going to tell you something. To the good church people, like I've become a good church people too. I have. The sin of good church people isn't doing nasty things. The sin of good church people is not obeying the commands of their Lord. Whether it's to pray without ceasing, to give thanks always for all things, to be a witness, to grow in grace. These are the things where we fall short. And can you imagine the general of any army saying, hey, it's okay for you not to listen to what I say? It's okay when I say take that hill and you don't take that hill, it's okay. It's all right. I'm cool with that. When we say it's time to march and you don't march, the general saying, hey, it was really a suggestion anyway. This is where we fall short. This is where I fall short. Those are called sins of omission. And if you think God's just not worried about those ones, what do you think it means when he says that the judgment will start with the household of God? You know, and like the Pharisees, we might say, well, you know what? I haven't done any of the things the people in the world have done. Well, you haven't been given you've been given such an exceedingly great light in Jesus Christ. You've been given his word. How could we ever compare ourselves to the world ever again? Man, they're bound for hell in a pit of slavery. That's who you're comparing yourself to? That's like saying you could beat up a baby and thinking you're proud. Come on. The Lord is our standard. He's high and lifted up. Let's walk. Let's walk with him. How do you get out of self-deception without the Lord? I just want you to think about that. How do you get out of self-deception without God's help? It's a tough one. Verse 10 says this, we're not honest with God. If we say that we have not sinned, notice the past tense, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I know people have said, you know, hey, there's a song, I got a friend in Jesus, I've never sinned, I'm not a sinner, and I'm not trying to blast Norman Greenbaum or whatever his name is. You know, I like the song personally. It's kind of good. But y'all, when we say we're not sinners, man, we're saying God's not true. We're saying God has lied. You know, again, in my old morality, if I didn't get caught by the police, I didn't think it was a sin. But God knew. God is the judge. God has said every one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've talked to people, I don't think anyone in this room, but I've talked to people about Jesus Christ and they've told me they have no need for a Savior because they've never sinned. Far more, I've interacted with people and they live as if they need no Savior because they don't take any account for their sin. I've heard it said that we weigh our own sin in ounces and we weigh the sin of others in pounds. Have you ever heard that? We weigh our own sin in ounces. Just one, oh, that was just a little sin. But somebody else's sin, we weigh in pounds. Oh, can you believe what they did? Let me tell you, God has no misgivings. You're a sinner, he said. I'm a sinner, he said. And if you can't come to grips with that kind of honesty, the grace of God will never flow in your life. You will always be the block of the grace of God. You'll get in the way of what he wants to do. Now let's talk about getting honest with God. We can get honest with God because God allows us to get honest with him. I want you to look at verse 9. Getting honest in our relationship with God. I think I've said this before, and I probably shouldn't say it too often, but I'll say it one more time. I mean, I have a couple of tattoos, so I'm not afraid. I've stopped getting tattoos, but if you're ever gonna get a Christian tattoo, 1 John 1:9 is a great one to get, okay? Just have it tattooed right on your forearm so you don't forget it. You know, you want to read it. It's a great way to start a good witness. I'm sorry, Nanny. Nanny's looking at me going, boy, you shouldn't have said you're going to get no tattoo. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get one, that'd be a great one to get. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is so dripping with grace that if you get close to it, man, you're going to have to change your clothes. You'll be soaked. What does it say? What's our part in that? If we confess our sins, that just means if you and I will be honest with God about who we are. Confess in this term is to agree with God, to say the same thing. I agree with you, Lord. You said I'm a sinner, and oh, you're right, brother, I am. I'm a nasty, filthy sinner in need of grace. You say, John, but you've been saved for a long time. I am. I still sin. I still sin. I still need grace. This doesn't say after you become a Christian, stop being honest with God. It doesn't say that Christians are going to stop sinning after you come to the cross and you bow your knees and you get a new life and then you come out of here not sinning anymore. Does the Bible teach that anywhere? Nowhere. What does it teach? Get honest with God and confess your sins. Tell him. I saw this a great work of God last weekend. Thank you for allowing me to not be here last weekend. I was on a retreat. And during that retreat, the whole movement of God hinged on this whole deal about being honest with God. And I believe the time when it really broke loose is when this one guy was giving a talk. And he was talking about his sin life. And he said he had two visual aids, okay? They were hidden cameras inside. One was inside a can of some kind. And the other was inside like a water bottle. He was a law enforcement officer, and he had access to some of these things. Neither one of those bottles looked like a hidden camera, okay? And he said he used it, and he said when he confessed his sin, he came over and he grabbed this one. He said he opened it up, and he showed us the camera inside. He said, these were the sins I confessed. And he kind of was telling us how he confessed these sins and all that and offered that up to God and was honest to God about them. And see, that one kind of, you know, after that we could say, oh, that looked like. It's funny because the name of the product in the can was called Faultless. It was like starch for ironing. It was called, anyways, it was funny, man. It was funny. And he said, there were secrets in my life that I had to open up and show God. Look, God, look at what I've done. Look at who I am. And he put it up there. He said he'd started dealing and growing with God, and God said, what about the other one? We didn't even know the other one because it looked like a bottle of water. We just thought he had it up. He goes, nah, we're not going to deal with those ones. I'm not going to deal with those ones. He says, that was lust. That was what I was really caught up in. That's what I wanted to keep. That's what I didn't want to be honest about. And he came over and he showed us how that was a hidden camera too. And eventually how God gave him victory over that because he became honest. He said, that one men just don't talk about. We don't even talk about with God. About how we fall victim to lust in our minds and our hearts and how it can become an obsession and eat your mind away and distract you from so many things. We don't deal with that. But I'm going to tell you, God won't let you rest because He's light with no shadows at all. You got to be honest about all of it. But if we're honest, even about what we're most ashamed of, it says He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins. Do y'all see that? Is my Bible the only one that says this in here? Do y'all have a Bible? Are you open to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? Do you see where it says, if we confess our sin, that's our part. Let me just break it down really human-like. That's ours. We're going to be honest about our sins. And then what's God's part? God has the much bigger part. He forgives us our sins. He's faithful to do it, and He's just to do it because the sins have been paid for through Christ. But not only that, if that verse stopped there, it'd be beautiful. But it continues and says, and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever wished you could take your brain out and wash it and pop it back in? Have you ever got something stuck in your brain like a sharp piece of glass and you know it ought not be there, but it just stays there throbbing, just burnt, 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 it's there? Wouldn't that be something? What about your heart? Have you ever got your heart wrapped up into an obsession or into an addiction and you wish you can just pluck it out, clean it off, shine it up new and put it in? Well, you can't. But this verse says that God can. Did y'all get that? You and I can't, but God can. That's just being honest with God. If we get honest with God in our relationship, we can get honest with God in our life. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't say that it's a sinless fellowship. It says it's a cleaned fellowship. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. It acknowledges sin in the fellowship. It just is covered. It's covered by the blood of Christ. We could walk that way. Either my eyes are tired and it's making me see you all tired, or I've preached longer than you can listen already. That's what I'm getting my amen section over there now. So let me say this last bit of honesty. Getting honest with the world about who God is. There ain't but one hope in this whole world, and it's Jesus Christ. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 says this: I write to you so that you don't sin. This is the Big John paraphrase. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate. An advocate is somebody on our side. We have an advocate with the Father. The Father is the great judge. So we have somebody on our side in the presence of the great judge. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, which means somebody on our side with the judge, and it's Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That means He has a point from which to stand to argue our case where we don't. We have someone on our side. Jesus Christ is our only hope. He's the only Savior accepted by God, period. But He's not for us only. He's for the whole world. And that's what verse 2 says. And if we're going to be honest about God, we need to be doing something about letting people know there's an advocate who will stand on their side. His name is Jesus, and we got to tell them about Him because He's the one who takes away the sin. Without Jesus, there's no answer to what's probleming your soul and your conscience. He's the only one who can help us. That's honest. Would you get honest with God? And pray for your preacher that I'll prize my honesty with God above anything else in this world and never lose it. Never. You never want to step away from that relationship and that fellowship. If you can't tell God everything, you got growing to do. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for how You love us. Thank You for this time. And Lord, I pray that as we think about Your word, You would convict us through Your Spirit, that You would lead us, and You would tell us, Lord, is it Where are the places we've been less than honest? Where are the places we've lied on you? Where are the places that we haven't confessed? Maybe it's like the example, maybe there's a certain sin that we're so ashamed of that we wouldn't dare confess it to you. Would you let us know that you already know? Oh, Lord, would you show us that you knew when you came to the cross what kind of people we were? You're not surprised by us. Lord, help us. Help us to get honest with you, that we might really walk with you, make a difference in this world because we know you. Just keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. You know, if you've never been honest with God about your sin ever, if you've never been honest about who you are, and you need to this morning, you need just to say, God, I want to be honest with you about who I am so I can start a relationship with you. If that's you, would you raise your hand up? Likewise, if you have a relationship with God, but there's something you're holding out, you're still in control of that area in your life. You're ashamed of it. It's dark. But you haven't let go. You haven't even told God. Do you think He doesn't know? If you got an area you want to release to God, would you raise your hand up and just say you want to be honest with God about that? Amen. I'm going to tell you, freedom. Freedom comes in being honest with God. Life and light come with being honest with God. Because if you can walk with God, you can walk into any room. You can walk out of any room too, not be ashamed. Father, do your work. For those who are still holding on to something, do your work. But Lord, I believe that maybe even in this room, there are those who are unable, for whatever reason, to be honest. Would you save them? Help them. Help them to be honest with you. They don't got to tell me. They don't got to tell their spouse. They don't got to tell soul. Well, I don't care. But if they don't tell you, if they can't come clean with you, Lord, what hope do they have? So help them, Father. Thank you for the work you're doing. As the ushers come forward, I'm going to pray for the morning offering. Father God, thank you for today's offering and bless us, Lord. We give you all the praise for what you're doing. And we ask that all the glory goes to you. No one else, not even second place anybody else. No one gets to share. Just you alone. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.